This is Some Books Considered. I'm Dan Skinner. Ahead, a conversation with Alan G. Johnson about his novel, Nothing Left to Lose. Johnson is a writer, sociologist, and public speaker who's focused most of his career on social inequality. Alan, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Dan.
Tell us about this novel. What are folks going to find here?
They're going to find a story that is set in 1968 at the height of the Vietnam War, but in many ways, the novel is not a war novel. It's about the other side of war, which is what happens to the families of people who go off to war. It's a story of a family in which the father is a World War II veteran who was so deeply traumatized by his experiences that he has never spoken of them to his family and has had recurring nightmares for almost 20 years that he always claims the next morning he can't remember what they were. And so there's a secret that he's carrying. His oldest son, Joshua, is in the Marines and is in Vietnam, and his younger son, Andrew, is a senior in college and is the cadet colonel in ROTC and is, of course, about to be commissioned and go off and do what his brother's doing. Anne is William's wife and the mother of these boys, and, of course, she has been living with William's secret all these years, getting up in the middle of the night with him when he is sleepwalking in night sweats and trembling and having these nightmares. So there has been this carefully guarded secret that has, in many ways, has kept this family together. And then Joshua is reported missing in action, and this precipitates a crisis in the family and on all levels between the husband and wife, with Andrew, as this whole structure of denial begins to unravel. And that's really what the bulk of the novel is about, is what happens then.
The novel is Nothing Left to Lose. I'm talking with Alan G. Johnson. Alan, why did you want to tell this particular story? What inspired this?
Well, I have, for most of my career as a sociologist and then over the last 10 years as a novelist, I have had a very deep concern with human suffering. And, of course, men's violence in all its forms is a major cause of human suffering. My first novel, The First Thing and the Last, is about domestic violence. And this novel is about the cost of warfare, not only for those who fight it, but for the families. I think the seed for this novel was planted a long time ago. I was a graduate student in the late 60s and early 70s and saw a news report on Detroit television, and it was an interview with a young man who was actually resisting the draft and his father. And I won't go into what the content of the interview was because that will give away too much, but it really impressed upon me how powerful is the relationship between young people and their parents, especially young men and their fathers, around the subject of manhood and war, and how pivotal that relationship is, how important it is how fathers relate to their sons around this subject. And I never forgot it, watching that, what went on between those two men, the young man and his father. And I think that planted a seed out of which this novel came.
Alan, as we've been talking about, a big part of your career has been dealing with social issues, and you've written a number of nonfiction books. I'm wondering, how does fiction fit into this? Does it give you some freedom, or does it allow you to do some things in that genre that you can't do in the other in regard to reaching people with your concerns?
I think it does this in several ways. In my nonfiction, I'm trying to make a point. I'm trying to teach, for example, or I'm trying to explain something. And that's one way of getting at the truth of things. I realized through my experience as an artist, and my writing fiction goes back to my teenage years. I mean, it's a very deep thing in me. I realized that as an artist, what we're trying to do is to illuminate the truth in a very different way. I remember being in San Francisco one time and seeing a truck, and somebody had painted on the side of it, "Art is a lie that helps reveal the truth." So here we have something that's fiction, and yet it can put us in touch with the truth of things in a much more powerful way than nonfiction can. So if we want to talk about grief, for example, and grief is a major theme in this novel, or if we want to talk about the struggle of parents to protect their children, knowing that they can't, that we have to give them up to the world, and we have to watch. It's one thing to explain that in a nonfiction way, and it's a very different thing to actually get inside someone who's experiencing these kinds of things. And so for me, fiction allows me to explore the truth of what goes on, not only on the large level of how is it that wars are made possible and all of that, but also on the very intimate level of where do soldiers come from? You know, what's the family every soldier who shows up in a battlefield comes from something, comes from a whole lifetime of having lived in a family with parents and siblings. And in a way, all of them are present in that moment. And when the soldier comes home, if they come home and bring their wounds with them, it's the families who will bring them in, receive them. And that means that they will also receive the wound. And this, for the most part, is hidden from us. Reading nonfiction, reading the newspaper, or watching the news, or listening to the news, this is not something that most people in this country are aware of. But that story is every bit as powerful as what is presented to us. And for me, fiction is one way of giving that a form.
I'm talking with Alan Johnson. His book is Nothing Left to Lose. It's his latest novel. And this book is set back in a particular time period, you say the 60s and 70s, basically?
Yes.
I would assume that even though it's set in that time frame, we're still dealing with time of war. We're still dealing with the same issues. So this book should also resonate with folks who are experiencing these same things today.
Someone once said to me, they described this as a Vietnam novel, and I felt a real reaction to that, which was, no, this it's set during the Vietnam War, but it's about all wars. Anyone who reads this novel will see that it's not only about Vietnam, it's about the Civil War, it's about World War II, it's about war itself. And so in that sense, it's not specific to that time. I think in a very important way, all wars are the same. We like to distinguish between them in terms of what the cause was or who was on which side and who was the good one and who was the bad one. But in terms of what makes war possible, they're all the same. And my belief is that the fact that we don't see that, the fact that we keep compartmentalizing them and treating them as individual things, is part of what makes war at least seem to be inevitable. So I think that the family that receives William back from World War II, the family that gets the news that Joshua is missing in action, is really no different from the families today that are going through similar things in relation to veterans coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan.
This is a novel, so you're hoping that people will find it to be an engaging read here, but I'm wondering also, how do you hope that this novel will actually change people or change their way of looking at war after reading it?
I would respond first to the question itself, the way you've put the question, is that I think first and foremost serious fiction is about what it means to be a human being. I don't care, regardless of what the story is about, that's really what we're being asked to consider. What does it mean to be a human being? What kind of human being are we choosing to be? And how does that matter, that choice of what kind of a human being are we going to be? What is it required of us as human beings? And I think that's the overarching question that's posed by every piece of serious literature, and that's what I try to write. And yet, of course, this novel is focusing on war as a human experience. And what I would hope readers would take away from that is the question of what is it that makes war possible? War is not inevitable. If I thought that were true, I probably wouldn't have written this novel. If I thought that it were inevitable. It is not. So there are powerful social forces that seem to compel us time and time again to choose war as a way of trying to solve problems. So I would want readers to consider the question of what is it that makes this seem so inevitable, as well as the question of what is the toll that this takes on people's lives, not only the people that we see, the soldiers in combat, but all the tens of thousands, the millions of people whose lives are irrevocably changed because of the experiences of war. But these are people in families that, for the most part, unless that's our family, we never hear about.
Alan, for those who would like to learn more about your book, tell us about your website.
You can go to www.agjohnson.com, and it's A as in alpha, G as in golf, Johnson.com. There you will find reviewer comments. You will find the opening pages of the novel. You'll also find information about my other work, both as a public speaker and as a writer.
Some Books Considered is a production of Texas Public Radio. For more interviews and links to resources about books, visit tprbooks.org. That's tprbooks.org. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.